Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day we apply and live out what we've been learning all week. And this week, we've been learning about how the Israelites were commanded to meticulously build a tabernacle or a portable temple that would be their place of meeting God, showing their love to God, showing God's worth, which we can sum up in a word, worship. We've talked about how the Israelites would show worship here at the temple. They'd sacrifice things, they would sacrifice time, they would sacrifice words of affection in word and song. They would have a physical experience of sacrificing things to God, and they would really just cover the love languages here in this place. But it wasn't meant to only happen in this place. This was the focal point of their worship, but worship was meant to be a whole life affair. The Israelites had their entire lives to credit to God. They were alive. They were no longer slaves. They were on their way to their own land. They had food to eat. They had water to drink. They'd been guided. All of these things happened only because of God. Their entire lives existed thanks to Him. Their worship should also consume their entire lives. Every part of their lives is meant to give glory to God, to thank God for what He's done for them. But sometimes that's hard to do. We get out of practice, we forget. And so they had a focal point. The temple was going to be the place that would be most apparent, but it was meant to be the center of the nation's life. Not on the peripheral, it was meant to be the center as their whole life as a nation and as individuals was centered on worshiping God with all they had. This wasn't meant to earn something from God, but rather it was meant to thank God for what He'd already done. It's very much the same with church worship services that happen in a space like this, or in Redeemer's case, in a school gym. When churches come together to worship, when Christians come together to worship, they express their love for God as well. Words of affection are sung and prayed. There's a tactile, physical experience when churches gather for communion, of eating and drinking together. There's the experience of greeting others. That's tactile as well. Shaking hands, a hug. There's other love languages being expressed as well. There's the sacrifice of time. Especially in our day and age, there are so many other things people can do on a Sunday. They don't need to go to church. But when a Christian does, it shows a sacrifice of time. Church worship services also include an opportunity to give generously, to offer something to God. At the family room service, we do that in a few different ways. We ask people to bring food for the food bank, a financial gift to support our church, and also something they made in the service. If the kids color something or make a craft or something out of Lego, they can offer it to God, and it goes on our central table as an offering, because we all have something to offer to God. And finally, at a Christian worship service, you'll also find opportunities to serve and act and do in acts of service. So all five love languages get expressed at a Christian worship service as well. But again, it's the focal point for somebody's week of worship. It's not meant to be a one-day-a-week thing, but rather just practice for the rest of the week. Training ourselves to remember that everything is God's and should be offered to God. To always be serving God. To always be praising God with our words and songs. These are all the different ways that we're meant to be loving God throughout the week, not only on a Sunday morning, although it is important because it's training and it's in community. Now, this is all really easily misunderstood. A lot of people think that Christians go to church because they have to, because they have to earn something from God or prevent God from doing something to them, and they're scared of what will happen if they don't, or they're just doing it out of duty. But that wasn't the case for us. It wasn't the case for the Israelites. We see here the Israelites have been saved already. God led them out of Egypt. He brought these plagues against the Egyptians. He saved them from this life of slavery. He led them through the desert. He gave them food and water. He led them through the Red Sea. God has done all kinds of incredible things for them. They didn't earn it. He just did it. And now He wants them to thank Him with their love, with their worship, showing Him that He's worth it. These are the things that God has done to earn their praise and love and sacrifices. It's the same with Christians. Christians aren't meant to worship out of duty or out of any kind of an obligation. They have to do this because something terrible will happen if they don't. Rather, Christians are made to worship out of thanksgiving because God has done something incredible for us through Jesus. In Jesus, God came to earth and sacrificed Himself to save all of us from sin and death. That's what he's done for us. That's what's worthy of our thanks, our praise, our admiration, our gifts, our time, our service, and so on. That's what's meant to be the reason for our act of worship. Looking back at what God has done and giving thanks, a thankful response with the whole of our lives now dedicated to his service, with a focal point when we gather with others for worship. Now, maybe like you, I go to great pains to teach my children to say thank you for everything they receive, because their life is entirely thanks to others. Thanks to their parents, thanks to the community around them, thanks to God himself. They have things to eat, they have shelter, they have all these good things. So we teach them to say thanks when they receive something good. It's much better than just constantly pleading for more things. We want to teach them to be grateful when they do get good things in their life. So we teach it to our kids, but do we practice it ourselves? Well, that's your challenge for this week, to practice some gratitude, to practice a life of worship. First, list off some of the ways that God has blessed you. Now, what do you think is your best love language? How do you show love best? Is it actions, words, gifts, time? Which of these would best show God your thanks for his love, as it's been uniquely expressed to you? Write something tangible next to each word in your list, a tangible action you can do to show God you're thankful for what he's given you, and pick one of them to put into action right now. And then through the week, put the others into action as well. So that's your challenge. Have a great discussion with others about how you're going to put that into action. Love to hear about it too. Send me a message through the app or website. Have a great one. Bye for now.